This is Donald Tabb of the Billy Graham team with the third lesson of the Christian Life and Witness course. In our first lesson, we talked about the Christian's responsibilities and resources. In the second lesson, we studied the Christian life and balance. So far, we have discovered that, like Philip, every Christian can bring glory to God and be an ambassador for Him by living a holy life, by relying on the indwelling Holy Spirit to fill and empower us, by getting a grasp on the Word of God, and by acknowledging the power and sovereignty of God. To see how to maintain a victorious walk with Jesus Christ at the very center of your life, and to avoid getting off on tangents, we examine the balanced Christian life. If you were not already doing so, I trust that you've begun to meet the Lord in a daily time alone with Him. A time of getting into the Bible, allowing God to speak to you, and a time of prayer, just talking to God. Has your time of fellowship with other Christians been different this week? I've found that a wonderful way to develop our fellowship with other Christians is to share a verse that I've been memorizing, or an answer to prayer, or a prayer request. And if I am genuinely interested in what they have to share, I find a great kindredship springs up around the person of our Lord Jesus. The one area of the Christian life and balance that we did not talk about at length was the Christian's witness. This is the fourth spoke, the right horizontal spoke, the Christian's witness. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, this is not optional. It's not a true or false question. It's an accomplished fact. Ye shall be my witnesses. And because we are His witnesses, He says, "Go into all the world and tell the gospel to every person." With this great imperative before us, let's look at how we can be an effective witness. Now, the lesson will be in three parts. First, our personal experience. Second, our personal witness. Third, crusade counseling. I'll repeat that. Our personal experience, our personal witness, and crusade counseling. Roman numeral 1, our personal experience. There are basically two types of experiences. A, there is the decisive or crisis experience, like the Apostle Paul in Acts, the 9th chapter. You know the story. Saul was going to Damascus. His mind was set on doing damage to the church. He was confronted by the living Christ and was struck blind with a light from heaven. The Lord Jesus spoke to him, and he was humbled and willing to turn from his own way to receive Christ as his Savior and Lord. Some of us have had a similar type of experience. Not that God has spoken to us audibly, but at a point in time we heard the message that God loved us and sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. Acknowledging this, we invited Jesus Christ into our lives to be our Savior and Lord. Just as Paul turned around on the Damascus Road, we changed our mind about sin and turned from our own self-centered way to Jesus Christ. The other type of experience, or B in your outline, is the childhood, or less dramatic, or climactic experience. A biblical example is Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3:15, we read, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus." 2 Timothy 3:15. We don't have any record of Timothy having a climactic experience. His grandmother Lois and mother Eunice undoubtedly taught him the Word of God at some early age, and he committed his life to Christ and began to walk with Him. Now, the important thing about personal experience is not whether it's like Paul's or Timothy's, but that it has happened. That whether as a child or in some decisive moment later on, we have committed our life to Christ. The absolute must is that we know whom we have believed and are persuaded that He is able to keep that which we've committed unto Him. As we said before, you cannot give what you haven't got any more than you can come back from somewhere you have not been. Is yours a hope so, guess so, or no so Christianity? Make sure today. Roman numeral 2 is our personal witness. Our personal witness. Witnessing is sharing a person, not a plan. Someone has said, witnessing is one beggar telling another where to find bread. Someone else has said that it's taking a good look at Jesus Christ and telling another what you see. Well, all of these are correct. Yet certain factors enter into our witnessing being effective. The first factor, and you might want to list them this way. Factor number one, contrary to popular belief, the first thing to learn in witnessing is not learning to talk, but learning to listen. It's like climbing a mountain in the dark. We feel along the edge of a person's soul until we find a crevice to put the gospel in. There's more to witnessing than grabbing a man by the lapels and jerking him into the kingdom. We're dealing with eternal lives, not statistics. The second factor is, and it has already been alluded to before, is the testimony. Acts, the 26th chapter, is Paul's testimony. What is yours? Have you ever written it out? Have you ever related it to anyone? Sometimes the best part of a witness is sharing how you came to Christ. Now, there are only three positions a person can take when you share your testimony. The first one is you're a liar. That's right. They can say you're a liar. The second is that you're crazy. Or the third is, it happened just as you said it did. Now, as an extra project this week, I'd like to ask you to write your testimony on one side of a sheet of paper. That's all. Just write your testimony on one side of a sheet of paper. Try to include what life was like before you met Christ. Maybe you want to write this down. What was life like before you met Christ? Number two, how did you meet Him? And number three, what has life been like since? I'll go over that again. What was life like before you met Christ? Number two, how did you meet Him? And number three, what has life been like since? The third factor is presenting the gospel facts. Presenting the gospel facts. Not our clever arguments, but the gospel. Paul says in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It's not our clever arguments again that's going to bring people to Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. The fourth factor is giving the invitation, giving the opportunity to say yes to Christ. The fifth factor is the prayer of commitment. The prayer of commitment. Helping a person pray in receiving Christ. The sixth factor is to confirm the commitment. Using the Word of God to confirm the commitment. Now then, there are many helps or illustrations our plans, our tools which can help us witness. Of course, we could not possibly discuss them all, but I'd like to share one with you. You will find in your materials that you received for this lesson a small blue booklet entitled, "Do You Know the Steps to Peace with God?" Please get it out, and we'll go through it. Have you found it? Now, this is not a rule to strictly follow, but a help. You can go through it with another person with whom you've established conversation. You can introduce it with such questions as, "Have you ever discovered peace with God?" Or, "Have you ever made the discovery of knowing Jesus Christ?" Or, "Do you know the steps to peace with God?" There are many ways that you can introduce it. Then you can follow by opening to the first page and read. You might want to read along with me as I read. In all of life, there's nothing more wonderful than discovering peace with God. Step one to this discovery is realizing God's plan, abundant life. God loves you and wants you to experience peace and the abundant life. You see, the Bible says, now we're on the next page, in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And in John 10:10, Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Since God planned for us to have peace and the abundant life right now, why are most people not having this experience? The next page is step two, acknowledging man's problem, separation. God created man in his own image and gave him an abundant life. He did not make him as a robot to automatically love and obey him, but he gave him a will and freedom of choice. Man chose to disobey God and go his own willful way. Man still makes this choice today. This results in separation from God. You might look at this illustration here. You'll notice that man is on one side and God on the other of a deep chasm. Sinful man separated from a holy God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then in Romans 6:23 we read, "For the wages of sin is death," separation from God. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now man through the ages has tried to bridge this gap in many ways without success. He's tried good works. He's tried religion. He's tried philosophy. He's tried morality. But there's only one remedy to this problem of separation. The next page, step three, is recognizing God's remedy, the cross. Jesus Christ is the only answer to this problem of separation. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He paid the penalty for our sin and bridged the gap from God to man. As Living Letters puts it, God is on one side and all the people on the other, and Christ Jesus Himself, man, is in between to bring them together. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth," or showed His love toward us, "in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." Why? That He might bring us to God. Now, God has provided the only way. Man must make the choice. Next page. Step 4 is man's response to receive Christ. We must trust Jesus Christ and receive Him by personal invitation. The Bible says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Christ is speaking. "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." Now let's look at the illustration. Are you here on this side with sinful man, separated, frustrated, guilty, with lack of purpose? Or are you over here with God, forgiveness, peace, abundant life, and eternal life? In John 1:12, it says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Is there any good reason why you cannot receive Jesus Christ right now? Now here's what you must do. Number one, admit your need. I am a sinner. Number two, be willing to turn from sin. Repent. Number three, believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. Number four, through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life. Receive Him as Savior and Lord. Now on the next page, we have a prayer written out. You might, if you were reading this with someone else, you might read a sentence and then let them read a sentence if they'd like to pray that way. Why don't you read it after I read it? We'll sort of read it responsively. Dear Father, I know that I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe that Christ died for my sin. I am willing to turn from my sin. I now invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart and life as my personal Savior. I am willing, by God's grace, to follow and obey Christ as the Lord of my life. Now let's read the next page. God's assurance, His word. Did you sincerely ask Jesus Christ to come into your life? Where is He right now? What do you have? The Bible says, Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." In 1 John 5:11. To 13, "He that hath the Son hath life," right now, "and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Now on the back page, is some general instruction or encouragement to a person who has just received Christ. It says, this is just the beginning of a wonderful new life with Christ. Now, number one, read your Bible every day to get to know Christ better. Number two, talk to God in prayer every day. Number three, tell others about Christ. Number four, worship, fellowship, and serve with other Christians in a church where Christ is preached. Sounds like that person has been looking at the Balanced Christian Life illustration, doesn't it? Now, I've had the privilege, and I know many others also, who have had the privilege of leading many people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ with this little booklet. I'm sure that you noticed in this that this booklet presented the facts, that it paved the way for an invitation, that it suggested a prayer, and that it confirmed the commitment. Now, just a word on commitment. Not too long ago, I was talking with a man in Chicago. After sharing this booklet, he had invited Christ into his life. Wanting to confirm the commitment, I asked, Herb, were you sincere when you asked Christ to come into your heart? And he thought for a minute and said, yes, I was. Well, where is Christ right now? He thought again and he said, in heaven? And I said, let's read the verse again. And we turned to Revelation 3:20. I read, if any man hear my voice and open the door, what does it say he will do, Herb? And Herb read, I will come into him. Well, where is Christ right now, Herb? All around us, he said. Let's read the verse again, I said. If any man hear my voice and open the door, what does he say he will do? Herb read, I will come into him. Where is Christ right now, I ask? Now, Herb did not miss it once, twice, or three times. He missed it seven times. But each time I did not argue or coerce. I simply said, let's look at the verse again, Herb. On the seventh time, Herb's face lit with a smile. And he said, he's in my heart. I said, how do you know, Herb? And he replied, because Christ says so, right there in the Bible. Do you know why I didn't tell him the answer? I wanted the Spirit of God to confirm the commitment with the Word of God. And he did. Remember, the commitment is confirmed by the Spirit of God using the Word of God in a person's heart and mind. Then I turned to 1 John 5:13 and read with Herb. He saw immediately that it was not hope so or guess so or wish so, but it was know so. As I read, I misread it. I said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may guess that ye have eternal life. He said, no, no. I said, oh, pardon me. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may wish that ye have eternal life. He said, no, that's not right. It says no. I said, oh, pardon me. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may hope that you have eternal life. And he said, no, that's not right. It says, no, no, K-N-O-W. And that's what it says. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Assurance comes from the Word of God. Nowhere else. Try sharing this booklet with someone this week. Will you do it? Pray about it and do it. Now for Roman numeral 3, crusade counseling. Crusade counseling. It's much like personal witnessing, except that you don't have to cover all the points. It can be a living example of 1 Corinthians 3:6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You and others in crusade preparation and Mr. Graham and his message will have covered all the factors except confirming the commitment. People will come and listen to the message. Mr. Graham will present the gospel facts. He will give the invitation. He will lead the inquirers in prayer. You, as a counselor, will A, have the opportunity to introduce yourself to the inquirer. Maybe you want to write these down. We'll cover them later, but you might want to write them down now. A, have the opportunity to introduce yourself to the inquirer. B, record a few vital statistics on the counseling card. C, confirm or clarify the commitment using the Word of God. Confirm or clarify the commitment using the Word of God. D, have a word of prayer. Have a word of prayer. And E, introduce the correspondence Bible studies contained in the My Personal Commitment and the memory cards. You just might want to write down Bible study and memory cards. Bible study and memory cards. And F, introduce the inquirer to an advisor. A, introduce yourself. B, record statistics. C, confirm the commitment using the Word of God. D, have a word of prayer. E, Bible study and memory cards. F, introduce the inquirer to an advisor. Usually, the commitment will be a first-time acceptance of Christ. Or it may be an assurance of salvation. Or it might be coming back to Christ in restoration or a further rededication of the inquirer's life. We break these down into three general categories. Number one, acceptance of Christ. Number two, assurance of salvation. Or number three, rededication. Generally, all that is needed is your helping the person to determine the decision and confirm the commitment using the Word of God. We will discuss these three categories of decision more in our next lesson. Now, I'm going to ask you to please work both Bible studies in the My Personal Commitment packet that you have received, and be familiar with the entire context of the My Personal Commitment packet for next lesson. Have you got that? Work the two Bible studies and be familiar with the entire My Personal Commitment packet. And don't forget, share the blue booklet with somebody this week. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we pray in Jesus' name that as you have met with us tonight and helped us to determine our own experience with you, as you have shown us new ways to communicate our faith in Jesus Christ, and as you have met with us by your Spirit to clarify and to explain the Word of God, we pray that you will help us to lay it to heart and that you will go with us now and help us to put these things into practice in our lives, that we might fulfill your command to tell the gospel to every person. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.